Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
The guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey, friends. It is episode 206 of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. And if you are listening the week that this show drops, which I hope that you are, but if not, welcome to the show regardless. It's Halloween week, and so I thought it was appropriate to have a Halloween-themed guest, if you will, on, and that is Bo Sawyer. He is one half, or one third, really, of the Midwest Monster Hunters, and Bo is going to talk a little bit more about his career. He has actually been wrestling on the independent scene for quite some time now, and I met him earlier this year in Stride Pro Wrestling. And, you know, he is one of those guys. He is a hoss of a guy, to say the very least. And I love the character development that he and Jason Tiller, specifically in Stride, have done, but also their third partner, Blaine Black, where they wrestle several other independents here in Illinois as well as in Indiana. So Bo talks more about wrestling, who he would like to step into the ring with still, what other monsters out there that he and Jason and Blaine feel like they can hunt, because Abyss, a big man himself, a big monster in the world of professional wrestling, has actually stepped in the ring twice now with Bo Sawyer. So we talk more about that. We'll get to the interview in just a couple of minutes. On the flip side of the interview, though, I want you to stick around. It's Ask My 1-2-3 Cents, and I've been adding more content other than just the blogs. The blogs are fun and great, but I feel like video, people are turning more to video and audio consumption for things. So the blogs will still continue, but I also am hoping that folks will check out the videos. So occasionally during the week, usually once or twice a week at least now, with the excess questions that I get for the podcast, I'm saving those and doing quick, you know, 3 to 4 to 5 minute long videos. So check that out as well. The Pro Wrestling Tee Store, I've got some new designs in the works. I know I say that every week, but I literally sent them off to the artist over the weekend. So hopefully in the next few days, those will be submitted to Pro Wrestling Tees. And if they get approved, they'll be for sale. And one of them will be a Christmas-themed shirt. And I'll talk more about what my plan is. I'm stealing an idea from a friend of mine, the Cargo guy, Cargo Proud. And I'll share those details, though, once it becomes a little closer. So I do appreciate all the support with the Pro Wrestling Tee Store. People are starting to buy more. Once we hit 25 t-shirts sold, I can add more designs. Right now, the limit is 4. And probably, hopefully, by the end of this week, there will be 4 designs in there right now for you to choose from. And again, I appreciate the support. Of course, Evolution happened over the weekend. I'm recording this on Sunday prior to the show. I have no doubt the wrestling action will be great. The storytelling, we'll wait and see. But I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts, your 1-2-3 cents on Evolution and everything else going on in WWE and beyond. We talk a lot about independent wrestling here on the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast because I am closely associated with Stride Pro Wrestling, which, by the way, making a big return on Saturday, November 10th in Carterville. That's all I can say at this point. We are going to be making a big announcement about the location, the new home for Stride Pro Wrestling. I am very excited about this. A lot of work going on behind the scenes to make all this possible, and it's going to be announced in the very near future. So, Tom and Jason Skull, get your asses down here, boys. Come on down to Southern Illinois, some Southern hospitality, if you will. I'll put you up in the Huntsberger Manor for sure. So, but anyway, Big things coming for Stride, not only for the rest of 2018, but into 2019. And I'm looking forward and excited to be a part of all of that. So again, be sure to stick around. We have the interview coming up. Also, I'm working on a tournament of sorts, a fantasy booking, I guess, on the My123Cents Facebook page, but I still need your input. I'm looking for your 8 submissions for superstars or wrestlers who should have been WWE heavyweight champion. And you can count someone who was the NWA or the WCW champion, but not WWE. I'm focusing specifically on WWE. I've gotten some great submissions, but I have a lot of ties right now. So I'm looking for some more to get into that. So look me up on Facebook. It is My123Cents on Facebook. Send a DM or send me a message directly. You can hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or you can leave a comment here even on the My123Cents portion of the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. So speaking of Jittery Monkey, again, be sure to subscribe to all the shows. Greg Mahochko has the Five Heart Podcast with Nebraska Cornhusker Athletics. Of course, he also has Nerds United. Chad Smart has Positive Cynicism. Leave your comments, leave your thoughts, leave your suggestions, and rate and review. If you think the shows suck, give us a 1. Give us a 1-star and let us know what we can do better. If you love the shows, give it a 5 and tell us what you enjoy about it, and we will keep on keeping on, as they say. So again, everyone, thanks so much for listening. Stay tuned now for Bo Sawyer. Hey everyone, welcome back, and the guest this week is Bo Sawyer. He is one half of the Midwest Monster Hunters, a two-time former tag team champion in Stride Pro Wrestling. And Bo, welcome to the podcast, and you actually came to Stride earlier this year. So for fans who maybe don't know, talk a little bit about Bo Sawyer. Introduce yourself.
All right, Kevin, I definitely appreciate it. My name is Bo Sawyer. I have been called the Cornfed Beast. I have been called Warbound. I am from the small little place of Shotgun City, Iowa, for a lot of people who did not know where that was. You know, I've been hanging around the wrestling business for a long, long time, and it's just, I've kind of kept this part of myself under wraps with the whole Monster Hunter thing, but you know, when we look in society these days, all these monsters between werewolves and vampires and zombies and all this, they're all getting accepted by society, and people don't realize the real danger that lies there. So it's kind of like that song by 38 Special, that Flirting with Disaster, you know? So myself and, you know, Jason Tiller, and we've got brother Wayne Black, you know, we're out here trying to maintain and keep peace with these monsters that might pop up, and just trying to keep people safe, and sometimes I don't appreciate it.
One thing that you guys have done very well, I think, not only your work in the ring, which speaks for itself, but you've also incorporated social media, specifically YouTube, and you've done some videos and whatnot. How important is it to, you know, have that presence? And how do the fans, because I know the fans here in Stride, I know how they kind of take to you and Jason. We haven't had the pleasure of working with Blaine yet, but what's it like in other parts of the Midwest where you are going in and hunting and bumping, so to speak?
All right, well, pretty much, you know, it shows there's a different aspect of the Midwest Monster Hunters between myself and Jason Tiller, and especially Blaine Black, because Blaine's a little bit of a different character. He's kind of our inside man. But basically what we do these little video, you know, not so much documentaries, but these little shows. It shows there's a different aspect of Bo Sawyer and Jason Tiller and Blaine Black, other than the, you know, we come into Stride and there's people that may not like our attitude, but we're there to do a job. We're there to get things done and get results. But other places we go, we get a little accepted, a little better, just because the people understand what we're trying to do. We're out there providing a service and keeping them safe. And these videos that we put up on YouTube, usually it's maybe weekly, maybe every couple weeks or so, they're for the people's entertainment, to show that good wholehearted, good nature side of the Monster Hunters. And you know, we're always looking for new members to come aboard and, you know, get to be a hunter in training and just have a little bit of fun with it, you know.
So yeah, I obviously there are lots of different monsters and ghosts and ghouls that are a part of professional wrestling. Now, you actually have had an opportunity in 2018 alone to wrestle one of the biggest and baddest monsters, and that is Abyss. So tell me about your experiences wrestling the now Impact Hall of Famer Abyss.
Now, you see, Abyss was a big target when all this got brought to the forefront, the Monster Hunters performed. He was on the radar from day one. And even as a younger Pro Sawyer, when I saw this, I knew one of these days I was going to come face to face, or close as face to face as I can. I mean, come on, the guy's 6'8" and 350 pounds. He's a big dude. But, you know, that monster aspect is always there, and I knew one of these days I was going to cross paths with him. And the first time I did, I'm not going to lie, I was pretty unsuccessful, but I knew there's weaknesses. There's always little chinks in the armor, and, you know, one of these days I'm going to chip away at that. Yeah, he might be a Hall of Famer, but he's still around. He's still doing his thing. But one of these times, I'm going to get him. I've got his number, and I know exactly what to go for next time we meet.
And when you guys did meet in the Stride Pro wrestling ring, it actually was a match with Roger Mathis and Abyss, and then you and Jason, for whatever reason, thought that was the opportune time to pull off a hunt. And unfortunately, you guys learned the hard way not to mess with two of the biggest and baddest guys when it comes to Stride Pro wrestling and indie wrestling in general.
You know, we did that night, and one thing that you will learn about Jason Tiller and myself and just me as a whole, I either win or I learn. There is no such thing as losing when it comes to me. Now, that night, we were already in the middle of a hunt, and it just so happened to be right in the middle of their match. And all respect in the world to Roger Mathis. I wish him well. I hope he gets back and healthy and back into a ring sometime soon. But here's the other thing. We were there to help him. We saw a threat. We saw the monster Abyss. You've seen fire. You've seen pyro and all that come up. That's not natural.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he comes to Stride. He comes to our hunting grounds and everything and thinks he's just going to throw his weight around. We were trying to help out Roger. Now, Roger didn't exactly see eye to eye with us on that night. But, you know, I think after sitting and talking, we can actually get him to realize just exactly what we were doing. But unfortunately, on that night, we learned a valuable lesson. Don't cross two big behemoths when they're trying to get into it and see who's the top dog, the big alpha male. Because we got caught smack dab in the middle of it, and unfortunately, we didn't exactly come out on top. But like I said, Abyss is still on the radar. Things can change in the future, and I guarantee our paths will cross again.
So Abyss is obviously on the radar, as you've mentioned. Talk to me about others in this realm of that fall into the category that would need the help of the Midwest Monster Hunters. Who else is on your list of dream opponents, so to speak? Or have you ever had anyone else, for example, Vampiro, Gangrel, anyone from that ilk that you've wrestled before?
Well, I tell you right there, you nailed one, so to speak, a nail right in the coffin on that. That, you know, Gangrel has definitely been on the radar, and I've got some connections that we could possibly cross paths with him one day. Also, Kevin Thorne is on that list, a very big dude, and also another very, very dangerous individual, just like Abyss. Another one that's kind of flying under the radar, and that's not just a short joke, but Hornswoggle. You know, come on, the guy's a real-life leprechaun. Are you kidding me? I don't care what he goes by these days. He came from underneath the ring, and, you know, there's no telling where he might pop up at. And also another big, big man that's on our list, and it could be happening very soon. We don't know about this. It's got to be Congo Kong.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, he's been in and around, hovering around the area that we like to call our hunting grounds. And I'm telling you, here soon, that one's going to happen.
Wow. That would be a big one for sure.
Yeah, literally, that will be a big one.
So obviously we know, you know, people, Stride fans who do listen to the show know the successes you've had here in Stride, as we mentioned, two-time tag team champion along with Jason Tiller. But talk a little bit to me about what you do outside of Stride, because I know for some Stride is it, but for you, I know you are busy throughout the week even wrestling in various parts of the Midwest.
Oh, very much so. Right now, Blaine Black and myself are actually the IWAU Tag Team Champions, which we run shows over in Noble, Illinois, every Tuesday night, and it's usually an hour-long show. You know, $2 gets you in the door over in Noble, Illinois. Also, for it's usually about once a month on a Sunday, Tri-State Wrestling. I'm actually the heavyweight champion right now. And the thing that's a little bit different, I'm not exactly in the Monster Hunter mindset. Say I'm going a little warbound when it comes to that and defending my TSW Heavyweight Championship, which actually this Sunday, October 28th, I'm set to defend that title against unfortunately, a good friend in Frank Wyatt. But, you know, we're a couple of big guys, and we got issues, and he wants my title, and I'm going to do everything I got to make sure he doesn't get it.
Wow, yeah, Frank Wyatt is a monster of a man as well, a mountain of a man, to say the very least. He's been here in stride as well. Does it ever become challenging, you know, because you've talked about the war theme that you have with that company, but then also doing the Midwest Monster Hunter? How different are those two characters, or is there a difference?
To a point, there's a little bit of a difference. You know, when I'm in the Monster Hunter mindset, I have a crew. I have, you know, I have Tiller, I have Blaine, and, you know, we all come together to take care of it, you know, for the common good. Basically, when the Warbound thing hits, it's more or less, it's me, myself, so I know I've got to up that intensity to 11, and, you know, I put on the paint, and it's very reminiscent of a video game you might have heard of called God of War. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, let's just say it brings out a little bit of that inner personality and just the intensity through the roof.
So you are obviously very successful with the tag team. We mentioned Stride Tag Team Champions here. You also just mentioned with Blaine, you are the IWAU Tag Team Champions and also the TSW Heavyweight Champion. So a singles career as well as tag team. We saw you first come to Stride as Frank Wyatt's tag team partner, ironically enough, and you've kind of filtered back and forth as a loner, but then also wrestling with Tiller. What do you have a preference when it comes to wrestling? Do you like the singles better, or do you enjoy being part of a tag team and part of a unit?
Well, to be honest, I mean, I can float either way, which I think makes me a more of a valuable asset to any company that I come to, because I can run by myself. I know what I'm capable of, and it doesn't matter who the person is in front of me. But also, I know that I've got my boys. I've got Tiller. I've got Blaine. And honestly, I can tag with any person on any roster. I mean, you take Hollywood Redneck, and I can make him an absolute superstar. You know, I can make him better than he already is just by being in there with me and upping it through my intensity. But, you know, to answer your question, I'm kind of middle of the road, because I can go either way, you know, with the singles, or I can run with a tag, and I guarantee one way or another that we're going to come out on top.
Well, you are... As we've been, you know, if people have not seen you in person, you are a very large man. You have worked very hard to get to where you are today. And I know you're kind of even doing more transitioning and kind of changing the look and the branding up. So talk to me a little bit about that aspect of professional wrestling. I think a lot of times, especially on the indie scene, fans don't appreciate the work that goes into not just the look, but also the character and the implementation of that and getting booked and doing more than just a monthly show. Or, you know, because as we mentioned, you're on at least two other companies in addition to Stride. So you're on the go, and you're always out there kind of hustling and selling yourself.
Right, definitely. And see, this is something I left out. Blaine and myself are actually going to be a part of Heroes and Legends this weekend in Fort Wayne, Indiana, that has an absolute ton of legends, you know, all kinds of opportunities coming from that. But, you know, as you say, people don't realize or maybe not appreciate what we go through. You know, Monster Hunting isn't the only gig that I've got. You know, I've got to put food on the table and a roof over my head. So I've got to do other work on the outside. Plus, right now, as I'm talking to you, I'm standing in the middle of a gym getting ready to get into a workout. You know, there's been a lot of sacrifices that I have made just to be able to be in a ring. Not just one set place, but multiple places. You know, I've named off two promotions, but for over the years, you know, I've wrestled various companies and been moderately successful, I'd like to say. And there's been opportunities that's come. There's been opportunities that's gone, but, you know, there's been a lot of sacrifices, and people just don't really understand what it takes to, if you want to make it or make something of yourself in this business, just what you have to go through. It's a mental game. It's a physical game. You know, I've had times where I've been on cloud nine and getting better, and then I've had times I felt like I just wanted to curl up and just quit.
Yeah.
And I think, why quit? You know, why just threw in all this work, because I very, very, very first started in 2004 and then kind of got sidelined for a little while, and I came back strong in 2006 and pretty much been running ever since.
So how do you keep that drive going? Because as you mentioned, you know, it is a grind. You are driving sometimes hundreds of miles. I know you drive a couple of hours at least to get here to Southern Illinois for Stride. And doing that sometimes maybe on a weekly or a regular basis, a consistent basis, what keeps you motivated to continue on and pursue this dream of professional wrestling?
Well, pretty much for me, a lot of people need help. They need motivation. Not me. I'm a self-motivated person. I want to push myself to the absolute limits to whatever I have and then go further than that because, you know, I am where I am right now and I know I can go further. I can take this other places. I can go bigger and better. And whether that be, you know, TV-wise, you know, a lot of people think WWE or Impact Wrestling, whatever that has, those are always the goals. And if those aren't the goals of somebody that steps into pro wrestling, well, I mean, if you're in it just to have fun, you know, come have fun. But at the same time, when you come face-to-face with a guy like me, I'm going to run you over.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things. It's been a goal that I promised my grandparents way back, and unfortunately both of them have passed on now, that I would do my best in this business because they kind of pushed me at a young age and said, you know, we were watching Saturday morning wrestling. And they're like, you know, you get big enough one of these days, you can do that stuff. Even if you're not big enough, you can do that. Doesn't matter. You've got the drive, you've got the determination, and you're going to have the size one of these days, and you can hang with anybody. And I took that and I ran with it, and to this day, I don't give up just because of them. And for my, I have two kids, and I want them to see their daddy be successful and make something out of it.
I think a lot of people share that same sentiment of how they became a fan, whether it's watching with grandparents or a parent. For me, it was my dad and my brother and my uncle. We bonded over professional wrestling, and I grew up probably, I think I'm about 10 years older than you. So I grew up in the, you know, the early era of Hulkamania and yeah, exactly. You know, King Kong Bruiser Brody and Andre the Giant. And, you know, those were the top draws. Ric Flair. Who was it that kind of caught your eye at that young age and I don't want to say encouraged you, but maybe inspired you to pursue a career in professional wrestling?
You know, it's kind of funny. I don't think I wrestle either one of these individuals I'm getting ready to list, but my top one and two of all time, number one was Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig.
Okay.
Nobody really kind of gets it, but if you look at Kurt, he could work. He could go in there and wrestle with anybody. One, not only entertain, but he was the definition of a worker.
Yeah.
He could go in for, you know, 2 minutes, 10 minutes, 60 minutes, and he can make that other person look like $1 million. And his work ethic and his athleticism stand out above so many. He never got the rightful push that he deserved. And another guy that I hold in high respect, and that also was Davey Boy Smith.
Oh yeah,
Bruce Bulldog. Because Bulldog might not have been like the tallest guy in the world, but he was thick as a house and was absolutely agile as a cat. And that always stood out to me, to a guy that was that big, that had that much power, but could still go in there and, you know, hang with cruiserweights.
Yeah, no pun intended, two perfect examples there.
Yeah,
they had great, they even themselves had some great matches back in the early 90s as they were both a part of WWE, putting on great shows. So, you know, when you tell people, because you know, there are some guys that they say, I'm a professional wrestler. And they may get kind of a side eye and really? But when you say it, I mean, you have the size and you have that kind of stereotypical, I think, what maybe society thinks of as a professional wrestler. So what kind of reactions do you get when you tell coworkers or, you know, kids, friends, parents, you know, hey, I'm a professional wrestler. Do people say anything? Are they different to you after they hear that?
Well, you know, you get the different kind of reactions. Like here lately, I've been sharing a little bit of actually Axe Allworth's been sharing a little bit of his closet with me. I've been wearing some of the Zubanas. You know, I had the big beard when I came into Stride, and I've since trimmed that up to a different, you know, look that you're not accustomed to. But yeah, when people do find out that is what I do, there are the questions. There are the wow, how do you do that, or where do you do that? Who have you wrestled? Have you been on TV? Do you know Jerry Lawler? I mean, you get all the questions, and you know, do I have all those answers? No, not really, but I kind of throw it to him. It's like, well, this is what I do. This is what I love to do. And people can either get behind it or they can get out of the way. And, you know, it's funny because people look at me a little different, or they might look at it as in, oh, that's really cool, and go about their way, or they get overly fanly, you know, and they'll ask every question under the sun.
So you mentioned, you know, in 2004 you started this this journey. You took a bit of a break, and you're back now. What advice do you have for young men and women who think about pursuing a career in professional wrestling? Because I think there are two camps. I think there are some that think that, because I experience this in my profession of journalism, people think that they're going to walk in the first day and be anchoring the evening news, and they don't realize that there is a path to get there. And I think that on the indie scene, it's a similar situation, that there are some of these young men and women who think they're going to walk in, they're going to take a few bumps, and then they're going to be main eventing the next indie show, and then on to NXT and finally to WWE. But there's obviously a very long path there. So what advice do you have to anyone? Because you said, have that goal of WWE or Impact or whatever it is, because you're there to work and you're there to make an impression, and you're not a weekend warrior, so to speak. You want to get stuff done in the ring.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the best advice I can give to anybody aspiring, wanting to get into the business, number one, come in absolutely humble. Come in, you know, ready to work. You're going to do things you never thought were possible or never thought you'd even see yourself doing. It's not easy. It's not for everyone. And I've seen people come and go that thought, you know, they were so gung-ho about it, come in and take one bump, and they were done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not for everybody. It's a weird, unnatural thing to throw your body against the ground and have to get up and do all these crazy things that we do. But, you know, like the best advice, you know, like I said, come in humble. Come in with a respectful attitude. Don't come up like you've got a chip on your shoulder and you think you are the absolute best thing walking, because I promise, if it's not me, if it's not some of the guys that, you know, that trained me, as in, you know, Homicidal Stephen Davis and Intimidator Josh Taunton, I mean, there will be a guy that will put them in their place, and either that place will be put in a pecking order to where you very much have to earn that respect, or pretty much you get put out, and those dreams pretty much will be shattered very quickly. But no, what I would suggest to anybody, find a school, whether it be a place like Stride offers pro wrestling training. Also, IWAU over in Noble, we offer training a couple days a week. You know, anybody that wants to, get a hold of Josh Totten, who can help you get that set up. And, you know, if there's somebody who really wants to take it and absolutely go further, you know, make a career out of this, find a bigger school. You know, there's the Dudley School in Florida. I mean, Seth Rollins has a school over in Iowa. I mean, there's so many different schools to look up, but don't just go in and expect, well, I'm going to do this maybe once a month or, you know, anything like that, and expect to make it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not going to happen. You know, like I mentioned, there's a bunch of sacrifices that come to it. I don't have a social life.
Yeah.
I go home and, you know, I make my lunch for the next day. I get a shower, and I usually either in bed and kind of looking at social media a little bit, and that's about it. You know, there's a lot of time that you're going to take away from this. So if you're a social person, that's cool. Be on your phone and, you know, plug yourself as a wrestler. You know, once you've made those certain steps and, you know, earn that spot. But if you're looking into it and just be like, well, I'll just do what I want, then do me a favor and don't even get into it.
Yeah.
Don't waste your time.
Yeah, because not only are you spending that time training and in the ring, but there's a lot of time you're spending on the road too. We mentioned it earlier. You're driving, you know, you're driving hours at a time sometimes for a 10-minute match or less, and then turning around and going right back home. So it is a grind, physically, mentally, emotionally. It wears down on a lot of things. So you have to go into it with that mindset, or at least that attitude of, you know, not only making yourself look good, but making those that you're in the ring with look good as well.
Exactly. And, you know, the number one thing was to take care of each other out there. You know, we want to go out there and put on the best show possible, but you break your buddy in half that you're wrestling a match with, well, not really going to have much of a match left anymore, and people might look at you different because of it. So, you know, always take care of each other.
That's some great advice there. Bo, I know you're active on certain forms of social media, and you've got some great posts. Anything you want to plug as we kind of start to wrap things up?
Well, anybody, you know, check us out on Facebook. We've got our fan page under the Midwest Monster Hunter Indiana Division. Also under the same in YouTube. We've got our own YouTube channel. Go subscribe and like it, share it. Jason Tiller is our director of social media for the Midwest Monster Hunters and just launched our own Twitter, and I believe it's at the Midwest Monster Hunters. I'm not exactly entirely sure. I'll have to get back to you on that. But, you know, usually at least once, maybe every 2 weeks or so, we're going to have a new episode of either hunting and bumping between the ditches or some kind of special hunt that we're really getting ready to start getting back up because it's getting colder. So, you know, some of these monsters, especially, you know, that Sasquatch is going to start coming out. So we've got to get some documentation. We've got to get some stuff going. And also, we called somebody out, and it even got retweeted on social media. Chris Jericho has taken it upon himself to get into the world of monster hunting. Now, let me say this. I've always been a big Chris Jericho fan, and he has done amazing. And, you know, he's had more longevity than anybody in the business I can think of.
Yeah.
But, Chris, come on, man. Don't step into our yard, you know, something we've already been doing, already had established. Stick to Fozzie, man. Stick to the music. You're doing really good at that. So let the semi-professionals and the actual professionals take care of the monster hunting stuff. So you just stay on TV and look pretty.
Absolutely. Well, Bo, I appreciate your time. I know with this being Halloween week, I'm sure the Midwest Monster Hunters will be busy not only hunting but doing more matches and whatnot. I'm sure we'll see you back in stride.
You've got no idea. I'm on call right now. It's ridiculous.
All right, man. Well, I do appreciate your time, and we'll see you back here in Stride very soon as well. We'll be making some announcements, some big announcements for Stride Pro Wrestling in the very near future as well. Bo, thanks again. As always, a pleasure to talk to you, my friend.
Right on, Kevin. I appreciate it.
I want to once again thank Bo for being a part of the My 1-2-3 Cents experience. Again, remind you that coming up on Saturday, November 10th, in Carterville, more details to come, bell time, the usual 6:30, but be sure to check out the Stride Pro Wrestling Facebook page. You can get there through strideprowrestling.com. Again, thank you for weighing in and asking your questions for Ask My 1-2-3 Cents or hashtag Ask My 1-2-3 Cents. This week's question comes from Jake Stubby J. Beaver, who is a co-host of the Ring General Radio and part of the Battle Bowl and all that good stuff. Jake, I appreciate the question. He asks, beyond the Four Horsemen, DX, and the NWO, who is your all-time favorite faction? Great question. If I were not excluding the three that he mentioned, mine would be the Four Horsemen. But since he said excluding those individuals or those groups, I am going to go with the 1997 incarnation of the Hart Foundation. Bret the Hitman Hart, Owen Hart, Davey Boy Smith, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, and Flying Brian Pillman. I guess he really wasn't flying at that point anymore. But those five, I thought the concept, the whole storyline behind it, that summer of 97 was just a great time for pro wrestling, a great time for WWE. They were really kind of turning things around. We were getting away from all the cartoonish kind of stuff out there. There were still obviously some of that sprinkled in, but I feel like wrestling, WWE specifically, was really starting to take things serious in trying to catch back up with WCW after losing in the ratings war for so long. So the incarnation, the rebirth of the Hart Foundation, and this time, you know, Bret was the champion, and he played that character so well, that whiny, you know, anti-American character. Played it so well. I've always been a huge Davey Boy Smith fan. Loved the British Bulldogs. British Bulldogs are my all-time favorite tag team. So, and then I loved the work that Owen and Davey Boy had done together as a tag team as well, winning the tag team championships, their whole little thing with the European Championship. Of course, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, a great character, a great, you know, one of those guys, a great supporting role that he played. And then Brian Pillman was magic on the mic as well, and obviously taken way too soon, just a few months after really this incarnation started. And unfortunately and sadly, 97 kind of ended. You know, the Hart Foundation kind of came to a demise, not only with Pillman's death, but then everything that went down with Bret leaving WWE for WCW. It was a short-lived run, but it was one that I really, really enjoyed and find very memorable. That Canadian Stampede pay-per-view during the summer of '97, SummerSlam, where Brett wins the championship back from The Undertaker. It was just great, great storytelling, and I think that the Hart Foundation was a big key factor in my enjoyment of 1997 as a professional wrestling fan. So, Jake, thank you so much for asking your question. Again, if you have a question, use the hashtag AskMy123Cents. You can post it on the My123Cents Facebook page, send a DM. You can also head out to Twitter, follow me at Kevin Huntsberger, use hashtag AskMy123Cents there as well. Everyone, thank you so much. Enjoy your Halloween if you're listening to this before Halloween. And also, send your pictures if you've been out over the weekend, if you celebrated Halloween early and you're in a pro wrestling, if you're honoring your favorite wrestlers, let me know. Send pictures. I want to put together a nice little spread as well for that. And it doesn't even have to be from this Halloween. It could be previous Halloweens or any time that you've dressed up like a pro wrestler. I know there are several of you out there that enjoy the cosplay as well. So anyway, have a happy and safe Halloween. And thank you so much for listening to My 123 Cents.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.